Timothy chapter 2. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to back up, just read chapter 2 down through verse 15, and then we're going to pick up. I think we got just a little bit further, but I'm going to back up just a little bit this evening, and then we'll finish up this chapter, hopefully, this evening. You can be seated. You don't have to stand this evening. I know most of you are tired from working. 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Bible says, Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also ordain, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Verse 15, he says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Lord, we sure do thank you again for the privilege we have to come gather together this evening. Help us for just a little bit. Lord, you know what we stand in need of. Lord, I pray that you stir our hearts, Lord, around the Word of God. Just give us liberty. Lord, I pray if there's one that's listening tonight somewhere, Lord, maybe this congregation, we don't know the hearts of one another. We only know our own hearts, Lord. And I just pray if there is someone here lost tonight, Lord, that you'd show them that they might get saved before they leave this place. Or maybe they're listening by way of the internet. Lord, I pray that you'll be Brother Melvin, Miss Hannah, and the kids downstairs. Lord, I pray that you'll touch those kids, Lord, that are coming to that time of accountability. Lord, that you'll work grace in their hearts. Lord, I pray that you'll deal with their hearts and let them see their lost condition, their need to be saved. Lord, I pray again for the prayer request that's been made this evening. Lord, meet each need. And we'll be careful to praise you and give you the glory for it all in Jesus' name, in Jesus' sake. Amen. I think we got just a little bit further last Wednesday night. I'm not sure, but I just felt like backing up to verse 15 and start right there. And we'll just go through this rest of this chapter this evening. And maybe we'll get through, and then if we get a little early, we'll go on to the next chapter. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God. You know, each and every one of us that are saved, the Bible always tells us to study. It tells us to hide the Word of God in our hearts. If we're going to be the Christian that God would be pleased with and to be approved of Him, we're going to have to study to show ourselves approved. We ought to know our Bible. We ought to know where to find passages. We ought to know the books of the Bible. Maybe not every one of us can memorize or say all, quote all of them, but we ought to be able to find them. They ought to be in our mind. They ought to be set in our mind, and we ought to just read this Bible and let it get in us. The Bible says over in Peter, said, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Each and every one of us is saved ought to be able to tell someone why we're saved, how we got saved, and how we're staying saved. I'm glad that God keeps us. I'm glad that we don't have to keep ourselves, but We ought to study this Bible on a regular basis. Just like Paul tells Timothy here, he knows that Timothy is going to have something to get up to preach. A lot of times preachers think that you just get up and the Lord will fill your mouth. I mean, you got to fill your heart and fill your head, and then I believe when we get up that He'll fill our mouth. If we've prayed and if we've studied and if we've prepared ourselves, now we may go off in a different direction than what we studied, but I still believe that if we'll hide the Word in our hearts and we'll study the Word of God, we ought to know what we believe. We ought to find it is important what we believe. I was talking to a young man this week. And was talking about some of the doctrines of the denomination he belongs to and other denominations, you know. And he made the statement that, you know, all that other stuff, wasn't as important as it should be. He just was a Christian, and that's what he was. Well, we are Christian. We all live a Christian life, but we need to know what we believe. We need to know what we believe about salvation. I'm glad that this Bible tells us. He says here, study to show thyself approved unto God. We're going to face people in the days to come, and we need to know what we believe and why we believe it. Not just because someone else believes it or that's what we've been taught. We need to get in this Bible and know what we believe. And I know we can't know everything. And there's a lot of things that I said that I don't understand. And I've said this a lot of times. It ain't the things it's not the things that I don't understand that bothers me. It's the things that I do understand that really bothers me. And I'm glad that we can study the Word of God and we can find out what God says on any given subject. And everything that pertains to life and godliness, I believe, is in this Bible. The way that we're to conduct ourselves, just as Paul is instructing Timothy, how he as a young minister should be prepared, what he's going to face. And he knew that Timothy was going to face a lot of things and opposition. And honestly, I believe we're going to face some things. I believe we're going to face some oppositions that a lot of people haven't faced in times past. The generation prior to us, they had it, people was receptive to the Word of God. People, they're not receptive to the Word of God anymore. All these things that we're narrow-minded because we don't embrace these things, that it's a woman's right to kill her baby, and it's people's right if they want to marry the same sex, that we ought not say nothing about it, and we ought not warn our children and the other people that maybe are not caught up in that kind of stuff. But we're seeing a lot of things today. No telling what else we'll see. Probably before it's over with, pedophiles will be legalized. And you say it won't happen. Well, we said it wouldn't happen about the homosexuality too, didn't we? So we don't know what this world's got to hold in store for us as believers and what we're going to face. And I hope we don't see those things, but we will face it one of these days. He said, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. I tell you what, we need to know what we believe and why we believe it so we won't be ashamed. I mean, if we're a Christian, when we go tell someone how to get saved, we ought to be able to give them Bible verse and chapter of what it takes for them to believe and trust Jesus as their Savior. And somebody told us, and I'm glad that somebody had studied back yonder and they prepared the men of God that we've heard preach. And it's important, rightly dividing the Word of Truth. There's a lot of passages that are being wrongly divided today. That's why we got so many isms and schisms and denominations, and this denomination embraces this doctrine, and this denomination embraces this teaching, and no wonder people are so confused. I mean, no wonder people are so confused about Bibles. I mean, there's so many versions, different ones, and it used to didn't be so. I mean, they've always been around, and since the early 1800s, 1900s, they began to bring about these other Bibles and versions. And even if you've got a Scofield, you ought to read the front part of Scofield's note about the Bible that they were going to use. They thought about using the RV, but it didn't seem to be catching on with the people. Basically, I can't remember exactly what it says, but You know, and then they chose to use the King James Bible to put his notes in. And I know his notes are not inspired, and you'll find things in his notes sometimes that we disagree with. You know, he teaches the gap theory in the very beginning of the Bible. A lot of people embrace the gap theory, and that's what it is. It's a theory. It's based on two or three Bible verses that has nothing to do with that. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There's no gap there. In the very beginning, God created the heavens and earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now, as far as our salvation, that has nothing to do with our salvation, and people won't believe that. That's their business. You know, I don't see that. I believe that in 6 days, God created the heavens and the earth, and I believe on the seventh day He rested. I believe in a six-day creation of the earth. I'm a creationist. And I believe what the Bible says. And it's just, we understand by the Word of God that the world were, by faith, we understand that the world was framed by the Word of God. And we'll just be able to accept that. Rightly divide this book. I mean, God did it all. And so we need to study this Bible and see what God has to say about any given subject. Then verse 16 said, "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase into more ungodliness." And we see a lot of profane and vain babblings and arguments and things that don't make a lick of sense sometimes. And people get caught up in that stuff. And Paul's telling Timothy, he said, don't get caught up in these kinds of things. He said, because what's going to happen, they're going to increase to more ungodliness. And that's what we're seeing today. People has gotten away from the Word of God. They've accepted these vain babblings, and they've accepted a lot of things as Scripture that don't pertain to the Word of God. And Paul said, leave that stuff alone, because it's going to increase to more ungodliness. And we've lived to see that in our day. We've seen our churches that we've dropped the standards because people have accepted these foreign teachings and these vain things that has nothing to do with the Word of God. I mean, this Bible tells us exactly how to conduct ourselves, how to lead a peaceful and a quiet life. It tells us how to run our churches, what the church ought to be based on. It tells us what our final authority is, and we ought to just take that at face value at what God has said. And he told Timothy, he said, shun it, void it, get away from it, stay away from it. Verse 17 said, "Their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus." So that word canker there, that's where we get our word gangrene. It's a disease by which any part of the body suffering from inflammation becomes so corrupted that unless a remedy be seasonably applied, the evil continually spreads and attacks other parts, and at last eats away the bones. And he's telling Timothy, he said, that's what these false teachers' word is doing in the church. And that's what's happened today. It's permeated our churches today, and it's corrupted, and it's got people in a mess, and it's caused people to depart from the faith. It's caused people to go off on tangents and different things. And he's warning him against this. And if there's ever been a time we need to take warning to the words that teachers are teaching today, even the radios today is filled with false teaching. I mean, you got to be careful. Some of this stuff, if you're not a pretty strong and you're not pretty grounded in your Bible, you better leave it alone. I mean, if you don't know what you believe, they'll twist you up and they'll get you confused. And there's a lot of people getting caught up in this universal salvation, different things, you know, that all people are saved, you know, and they don't have to exercise their faith and believe and trust the Lord Jesus as their Savior. They don't have to take their place as a sinner, that we're just all saved. You know, one of these days we're all going to be saved. That's just hogwash. I mean, it don't line up with the Word of God. And Hymenaeus and Philetus here, they were that kind of people that was teaching erroneous teachings that was leading people astray. Verse 18 says, who concerning the truth. Boy, I'm telling you, I'm glad we've got the truth tonight. You should know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Hey, we've got 66 books of truth here. And I'm glad that we can find out what God says about any given subject. If we'll be prayerful and we'll be faithful to study and read, I'm glad that we can find out what God said. And evidently their teaching was something to do with the resurrection. About the resurrection, that it was already past. I don't know. I've wondered maybe if they were the ones that confused the Thessalonians. Maybe that teaching. Maybe the teaching that they had about the resurrection. Maybe other false teachings probably. Since Paul was warning Timothy about them. So he said, who concerning the truth have erred. They've gotten away from it. We're seeing that today. People are getting away from the truth of the Word of God. Everybody wants to come up with their own interpretation of the Scriptures now. They want a following. They want to be the authority. When let me say this, this Bible is our final authority. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. And if it don't line up with this book, you better stay away from it. And if you're listening to something and it don't click, and the Holy Ghost is real in your heart and He's speaking to you and you've got a relationship with Him, He'll let you know. I believe if we're close enough to God, if we'll read our Bible, I believe when we get to listening to a false teaching and error, I believe the Holy Ghost will let us know. A born-again child of God. The Bible says we have an unction from the Holy One. We need not that another man teach us. And that Holy Spirit will teach you if you'll let Him. If you'll stay true to this Bible, if you'll read it, if you'll do what verse 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. You won't get caught up in false teaching. If you'll stay away from that kind of stuff, and if you'll stay in this Bible and stay prayerful, if you'll stay in a church that preaches the truth, then I promise you, you'll not be a statistic and be caught up in some cult somewhere. I've known of a lot of people that's departed the faith. They've departed, they've turned away from the truth, they went to other denominations that's not preaching the truth, and get caught up in that. They tell me that most Jehovah's Witnesses are former Baptists, a lot of them. So they crept into their houses. There's them creepers. They creep into their houses and because they know their doctrine. Their doctrine is false, but they know their doctrine. And because they don't know their Bible, then they come in with all this erroneous teaching, and it's like a vacuum cleaner. It just pulls them into it. They're so impressed with their knowledge. And that's sad when we got the truth. And you should know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already. And overthrow the faith of some. A lot of people's faith have been overthrown down through the years because of error, because of men that wanted their way, that wanted to teach what they thought and how their opinions. And there's a lot of that today. And when we ought to just get back to the basics of the Bible. Verse 19 said, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So he said, nevertheless, even though, in spite of the devil and demons and the evil spirits and the rulers of spiritual wickedness in high places, in spite of men like Hymenaeus and Philetus here, he said, the foundation of God standeth sure. Hey, I'm glad we're on the rock. I'm glad that we're standing on the rock. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6. The Bible says, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not, what? Be confounded. Hey, a true believer, if we'll stay where we ought to be, we're not going to be confounded. We're not going to be confused with this teaching of this world. When they go to teaching about all this health and wealth, You know, if you're right with God, if you're where you ought to be with God, if you belong to Him, you're going to be rich, you're going to be healthy, and you're not going to have any problems. Hey, you might as well forget that. You might as well forget that. If you're breathing air now, you're going to have some problems. Sometime or another, there's going to be problems going to come your way. And I think a lot of the problems we have sometimes is self-inflicted problems, but we're still going to have problems. Our bodies are going to get cancer sometimes, and we don't understand why. Hey, we're going to get sick. We're going to get afflicted. These joints is going to wear out, you know. Sometimes there might not be enough money to pay the bills, and we don't understand. But I'm going to tell you, God knows those that are His. He said, nevertheless, the foundation of God stand assured. I'm glad that God promised that He was going to build His church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hey, they might be, the storms may come and the waves may rock, blow, wash over, but I'm telling you, I'm glad the foundations of God stand assured that Jesus is still alive and well. He's still in control. He's still guiding and He's still leading. And I'm glad that God knows those that are His. He's not coming back looking for the church clerk. When He comes, He knows the ones that's His. And I believe that if we'll stay close to Him, that we can't be shaken on our faith and get caught up in false teaching and erroneous teaching. He said, even though these things take place, He said, the foundations of God, sure. Hey, it might be looking pretty bad around, but I'm glad we're going on. Hey, this thing's going to continue till Jesus comes back. Hey, the church is alive and well tonight. It may look like that we're going down, but I promise you, we're built on the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to stand. It's people that a lot of times that's not saved, they get caught up in this stuff. People that don't study their Bible. And I believe a saved person can get caught up in that stuff. But I'm going to tell you, you don't have to. If you'll stay true. If you stay in this book right here. Verse 20 says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. In a great house. The church is a great house. It's made up of many different kind of people. We're all involved in the work. He said there's some vessels of gold and some of silver. They're pure. They've been tried. They're going to come through pure and what they should be. They're going to be those vessels of honor that God is pleased with. But anytime you got people, you're going to have different type vessels. You got some that's wood and earth. They're going to fade away. But that gold and silver, it'll stand the fires. That wood, it's going to burn one of these days. But I'm glad that we're all in this together. It don't matter. We're not going to be tried for how big a work we're doing. We're going to be tried on our faithfulness and our motive and our attitude. And we're going to receive that reward and we're going to come through. We're going to be tried and we're going to be tested and we're going to come through pure if we're honest and we're that vessel that God's pleased with. Some to honor and some to dishonor. There's going to be some that's going to not receive no honor because of the attitude that they had. Their works is just going to burn up because of maybe their motive was wrong. Maybe they wanted glory instead of getting God the glory. But anytime, he said a great house is made up of many different ones, many different vessels. Verse 21 said, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. He said, if you'll purge yourself from iniquity, if you'll stay away from this false teaching, if you'll be that vessel of honor, that vessel of gold and silver, he said, if man purge himself from these things that's defiling,
He said he'll be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, set apart, and meet for the Master's use. You know, we're going to have to get that point in place. We're going to have to empty ourselves. We're going to have to get rid of that pride. We're going to get rid of that selfishness if God's going to ever be able to use us and accomplish anything with us. He said, Timothy, you're going to have to purge yourself from these things. Stay away from this profane and vain babbling. Get away from this. Stay with the truth. Verse 22 says, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, and charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. See, verse 31, we see the purging that needs to take place. The desire of every believer should be to be used in a used vessel and a clean vessel. Then verse 22, he said, flee youthful lust. We see the path and walk of the believer. In Paul's day, every sort of strong tendency, Timothy, not only the sensual sins, but anything with a strong tendency. They said Timothy was a young man when he was appointed to the church at Ephesus, and Paul warns him concerning the young tendencies, perhaps wanting to go his own way, becoming a strong-willed person, desiring preeminence in church affairs. And maybe that a young man, you know, the one of the qualifications of a preacher over in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6 said, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. A young man, if he's not careful to have preeminence, to want his way, if he's not careful, he can get lifted up in pride. And Paul knew that Timothy was in danger of that, and he told him to flee also youthful lust. Not only that lust of wanting to have preeminence and wanting to have his way, but also youthful lust. You know, a young man is filled, he's strong, and he's got desire. Paul said, be careful, Timothy. We've seen that today. We've seen a lot of men that got themselves in compromising situations because of lust. They've lost their ministry. They've lost their testimony. And Paul's warning Timothy of this. There's nothing new under the sun. This has all been going on for all these years. He said, flee also youthful lust. But then he gave him some things to follow after. He said, but follow righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness is just doing right. It ain't never right to do wrong, to do right. We ought to always live and try to do righteously. I know we fail sometimes. I mean, we get the tendency, you know, to go our own way and to do our own thing. And if we're not careful, we'll get to wanting the things of this world and it'll lure us out and that lust to get us. But he said to follow after righteousness. It ought to be the desire of all of us to want to be more righteous day by day. God has imputed His righteousness unto us, and He's given us the ability to live the Christian life, but we ought to follow after righteousness. You get to follow in the way of this world, they'll lead you away. They'll get you caught up in all the wickedness of this world. There's something out there that'll get you if you're not careful, if you're not following after righteousness. If you don't stay in this book, if you don't study to show yourself approved and find out what God wants for our life, He said, follow after righteousness and faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing what? By the Word of God. So there again, we study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. The more Word we put in us, the stronger our faith will be. We need to get a hold of the fact that this is God's Word. If there's any doubt in your mind about this being God's Word, I promise you, you're going to get stagnant in your faith. You go to chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews, that faith chapter. All of those sought a city. Enoch walked with God. It was by faith. The Bible says that Noah walked with God. Let's see, what does it say? Noah, let's go to chapter 6 of Genesis. I thought I could quote it, but I can't. Genesis chapter 6. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These were the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. How did Noah walk with God? He walked with Him by faith. He didn't even have a Bible rookie. But Noah walked with God. Enoch, the Bible says, walked with God. He didn't even have a Bible. We got 66 books of this Bible. We ought to follow righteousness. We ought to follow faith. Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And then it said, by faith, Abel. By faith, Enoch. And then verse 6 said, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. For he looked for a city, verse 10, for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength. And then verse 13 said, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. We're just strangers and pilgrims. Hey, He said, follow after righteousness and faith. Charity. That charity, what is that? Love? Love in action. Well, I'm going to tell you, we need the right kind of love today. We need the first of all, we need the right kind of love for God and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Verse 23, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. You ever been faced with that? Hey, have you ever heard such foolish questions people can ask? You know what they're trying to justify? They're trying to justify their life living without God. Where did God come from? That's what a lot of people's question is. Where did God come? Well, He ain't been nowhere to come from nowhere. He's always been. He's the beginning and the end, and everything in between and everything before that. Where did Cain get his wife? Well, he got her down in Nod. You know, the Bible gives us everything that we need to know. Where did the devil come from? Why did God create the devil? Hey, if you dwell on these things, I'm going to tell you, they'll defeat you, they'll rob you of your faith, and plus, if you go to trying to answer them people, and people go to arguing with it, it'll gender strife. It's foolish questions. Foolish questions. And Paul told Timothy, said, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid. Stay away from them. Hey, answer them with a Bible answer. That's why, back to verse 15 again, study to show thyself approved. First Peter 3:15, I believe it is, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that's in you with meekness and fear. We might not can know everything about this Bible, but we can know enough. Well, I don't know if we never will know enough, but we can. God, if we'll read it and we'll study it and we get ourselves in situations, God will help get us out, because He can put something in our mind to bring it to remembrance that we've studied, that we've read, that we've heard some man of God preach or somebody teach on. Thank God for good Bible teachers and preachers. When I started trying to really get my heart right with God and where I needed to be and reading my Bible, I listened to preaching. I'd listen to preaching all the time. I never listened to music much, but I'd listen to preaching. I liked to hear them old-time preachers. I used to love to hear Brother Samuel. We listened to him for 5 weeks, and I promise you, he preached He won't preach nothing now that me and my wife ain't never heard him preach. You listen to somebody every night, except Sunday night, Sunday, for 5 weeks. You listen, you catch on a lot of stuff. Hey, that's where I really began to wonder about the King James Bible, because he was always preaching about this King James Bible, this King. I never had heard nobody say much about it until then. I just always heard people preach out of a King James Bible. I didn't have no problem with the Bible. I knew if they started reading out of them others, they didn't sound right. I never heard nobody in church get up, I don't think I've ever heard a preacher get up in a church that I was in and read from another version of the Bible. I don't think. I might have, but I don't believe I have. Now, I've heard them preach on radio and read other versions. And I've read commentaries that they refer to other versions. But hey, I just never have had no problem with it. Foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. He said, and the servant of the Lord must not strive. He said, don't strive over these things. Don't argue about it. He said, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient. We could all use a little patience, couldn't we? With people. We could use a lot of patience with people sometimes. You know, everybody's not on our same level. We do understand that, don't we? And they are people that's caught up in teachings that they've never had the luxury of the fact that we were brought up with the truth. And I get to talking to people sometimes and I wonder, how could they be so messed up and get caught up in these kinds of teachings? But that's all they've ever heard. That's all they've ever heard. And I've been blessed that I was brought up under some good Bible teachers. Listened to Dr. Tabb for, I don't know it, the tapes and things and books that we read that he had taught us during Bible school. Other great men of God that we've listened to, Brother Keith Allison, Brother Marlon Thomas, who sat under him up at Hillcrest, and Brother Mark Wheeler, you know, we studied the Word of God together, and we've just been blessed to have good teaching. And it's easier to learn than it is to unlearn. And you get all these different denominations, they all believe a little different. Now, I believe a lot of those people are saved. If they're believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and the death, burial, and resurrection, they place their faith in Him and they've called Him and asked Him and received Him as their Savior and asked Him to forgive them their sin, they're saved. Now, they've just got brought up under different teaching, some of them. And they've got that in their mind. Some of them may be lost, I don't know. Because like I said, the Holy Spirit is in there. If we're reading His Word, He said, the Bible says, Jesus said, my words are spirit and they're life. And the Holy Ghost that lives in us, He'll take those spirit, those words, and He'll speak to our heart and He'll show us if we want to know the truth. I believe that. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. All these that are confused, all these that are messed up doctrine, we ought to try with patience and love to teach them and to bring them to a state of understanding the truth. I guess one thing is, I've belonged to some churches that taught Calvinism, and you could get caught up in that if you're not real careful. If you don't read your Bible. And if you get to reading other books beside the Bible, if you're not grounded in the Bible, then you could get caught up in Calvinism. There's 5 points of that tulip doctrine that John Calvin come up with. And it all has something to do with the T stands for total depravity. Now, we believe that we're totally depraved, but we don't believe we're totally unable. And they go so far as that T in total, depravity, total depravity, that we're totally unable outside. We know that God's got to deal with our hearts. To get saved, He's got to show us that we're hell-deserving, lost sinner. We can't save ourselves. But God give us a will. And when He speaks to our heart, then we receive Jesus as our Savior. That to you, that you stands for unconditional election. That He chooses so certain people. For no reason. I mean, it's just because He's God, you know. Well, He said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever will believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He said over there, and Peter said, God is long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish. He don't choose certain men to go to heaven and certain men to go to hell. He don't say, I'll take this one, but I won't take that one. He gives every man the opportunity. And those that receive Him, He brings them in and He saves them. He forgives them of their sin. And then there's that I-T-U-L, limited atonement. That limited atonement is that Jesus' blood wasn't shed but for the elect. It's limited to those that are saved. Jesus' blood was shed for all men. But it'll only save those that'll come to Him. It'll only cleanse those that will accept Him. But it's not limited to a certain few. T-U-L-I, irresistible grace. Have you ever resisted the Holy Ghost? Well, some people say, well, I couldn't resist Him. Well, Stephen preached that bunch over there. He said, you uncircumcised, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised of heart, why resist ye always the Holy Ghost? We can resist Him. We can resist Him. I've resisted Him before. You've resisted Him before. And they say that they couldn't resist Him. That's why they got saved. And then the perseverance of the saints. You know that those that are saved will persevere. It's not hinged on our persevering. It's hinged on what Jesus did on Calvary. The sacrifice that He made, that He laid down His life. Russ Stent Blue, I think, he's got something on that. And he said that we believe in the perseverance of the sacrifice. You know, Paul said, I know whom I have believed and persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Now, we believe God's sovereign. We believe God's in control. We believe that God knows everyone that's going to get saved. When they're going to get saved. Where they're going to be when they get saved. Bob said He knows the hairs of our head. But there's a lot of erroneous teachings like that that people have caught up in. They think that they are special, they're elect. Well, we're all special, they say. That we're part of the body of Christ. We've been saved. Our sins have been forgiven. So Paul said, though, he said, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth. Now, there's a lot of people who got caught up in false teachings and different things. And Paul said to instruct them in meekness. Though they're opposing themselves. He said they're against themselves. He said, but maybe God will grant them repentance. Maybe He'll give them repentance to acknowledge the truth and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. There's a lot of people that's been caught up in the snare of the devil. And Paul said, instruct them in an attitude of meekness, Timothy. Maybe God will grant them repentance that's been taken captive. That Satan's got them under his control, and maybe that they can get out from under that captivity, and then they can do the will of God. And that's what God wants for us. He wants us to be that kind of person that will love people and try to help people. Now, we're not going to change everybody. No. There's some people that's just as steeped in what they believe, and the devil's got them in his snare. Everything that God does, the devil counterfeits. He's got his preachers. He's got his teachers. He's got his denominations out there. He's got the cults, the isms, the schisms, and they're trying to confuse people. They want to proselyte people and get people in their group. But Paul told Timothy, said, just instruct them in a spirit of meekness, Timothy. Try to help them. Try to get them out of the snare of the devil. If maybe God will grant them repentance, they can get a hold of the truth. Hey, stay with the truth. If you've not got nothing out of this lesson this evening, remember 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Hey, do your best. Pray. If there's something you don't understand, ask God to show you. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you. Now, there's a lot of things I love to hear somebody preach and teach on prophecy, but there's a lot of things that I don't understand about second coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that there's a lot of things that a lot of people don't understand, but they come up with an explanation of it. And you're scratching your head and say, well, I just can't see that, you know. But it may happen that way. But I think God has shed enough light on us that if we'll study, if we'll read, if we'll pray, and we'll stay in a good Bible preaching, teaching church that holds up the truth and won't compromise, I believe God will help us to understand what we need to understand. We might not never be a Bible scholar, but we can be a sure enough good Bible student. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let's rightly divide it. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 says, much study is a weariness of the flesh. It's hard to study sometimes. Especially in this day and hour that we're living in, if you're working in the hustle and bustle of going to work and doing this and trying to keep the house clean and doing all the things that needs to be done, it's hard to fit it in sometimes if we're not careful, but we need to fit it in. You need to have some words along the day that you can read the Word of God. We're without excuse today. I heard somebody say one time, we got Bible on cassette, we got it on CD. Hey, you can pull it up on the internet, listen to Alexander Scorby or somebody read it to you going down the road. Even on the phone. If you're out in the woods. Hey, if you're out in the woods doing something, you can pull up that sword searcher or pocket sword and you can read. No excuse. Hey, break at work, you got a iPhone, you can download that Bible and you can read it during breaks, during lunch. Read your Bible. Study your Bible. Hey, follow after righteousness. The Bible says righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. You know what's wrong with this nation? We're not following after righteousness. Hey, even our churches have got away from the standard. You say, well, all that stuff's tradition. Hey, it don't matter. It's been passed down to him. If it's right and it's righteous, we ought to hold to it. Paul told them, said, follow in the traditions of the apostles. There's some traditions. If it's biblical, if it's righteous, hey, we ought to embrace it. We ought to hold on to it, not turn it loose. But usually what we're finding, people embracing that profane and vain babblings. That stuff, it appeals to the flesh. Hey, this Bible don't appeal to the flesh. This Bible talks about crucifying the flesh, mortifying the deeds of the flesh, putting it to death. We won't take the path of least resistance a lot of times. You know, that's how people get lost in the woods. Usually, if you've ever been in the woods, you get walking. Hey, if you're not careful, you'll take the path of least resistance. If you don't know where you're going, you'll be lost. That's why we carry GPS. If we get lost, we can hit home or hit a point, a waypoint, and we can go to it. I'm glad we got a GPS. God's positioning sensor. The Word of God is a light unto our path. The Holy Spirit is God's positioning sensor in us. And if we'll be honest with Him, and we'll trust Him, and rely on Him. Hey, you know that GPS? If you've got to rely on that thing, and you've got to trust it for it to work. I don't care if you think it's leading you the wrong way. If that thing is right, and it is, it'll carry you right back to the place. If you're hooked up with them five satellites that it's locking on to, and you hit a waypoint, it'll carry you back. That's the same way God's position and sensor. It won't lead you wrong, but you got to trust Him. You got to trust Him. Lord, we sure do thank You again for the privilege we've had to be here this evening. Lord, thank You for everyone's good attention. Lord, I pray that You'll take the message, lodge it in our hearts. Lord, I know that we could say a lot more things about these passages of Scripture. Lord, it might have been helpful, but Lord, we tried to do what we feel that You've led us to this evening. Help us to hide the Word of God in our heart. Lord, I pray that You'll help us to yield ourselves to You. Help us to follow after these things. Righteousness and faith. Lord, charity. Lord, I pray that You'll help us just be yielded to You, Father, in these days in which we live. And we love You, and we thank You again for this church, for Your people. Lord, help us to band together to carry on this work here in Flower Branch, Georgia. Give us souls for the labor. Lord, I pray we'll have somebody saved on Sunday. Lord, I pray that You'll stir someone's heart. Send someone in lost, Lord, that'll get saved. Lord, help us to be about witnessing to people, Lord, in this upcoming week. We love You in Jesus' name. Amen.